This morning I want us to turn back to that passage of Scripture that we read in John chapter 6. It follows on immediately from the passage that we were looking at last week with the feeding of the 5,000. And I've in fact entitled the message this morning, Moving Without Jesus. So often in the Christian life we think of moving on with Jesus, and we have the assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. But it seems at times as though we were moving on without the conscious presence of God. And this is the experience of the disciples in this miracle. Now, last week I said to you that the feeding of the 5,000 was unique in that it is recorded by all four gospel writers. This particular miracle, where Jesus walks on the water, is only recorded by Matthew and Mark. Luke, for some reason, doesn't record it. I want to concentrate in particular on John's account this morning, but in order to fill in some of the gaps, I think it would be wise for us to see some of the insights that come from those other records. Last week, in a way, we might describe that miracle as coping with life beyond the normal, because Jesus was there asking his disciples to feed 5,000 people. What we've got in this story is the way we are to trust Christ, if you like, in life's routines. The story goes simply like this. The miracle has taken place of the feeding of the 5,000. The crowd want to make Jesus king, and he realizes it isn't the time yet. So he says to his disciples, you get into a boat, you go across the water. He disappears up onto the mountain by himself. And as the disciples cross the sea, a storm brews, and during that storm they feel overwhelmed. They see Jesus coming to them. Jesus reaches them when they're panic-stricken, and he gets into the boat, and once he's in the boat, it would appear that their journey is complete and they've reached the other side of the sea. So last week, it was beyond the normal. This week, it's in life's routine. The story last week ended with the crowd wanting to anoint Jesus, but Jesus says, no, this isn't the time. And then the fourth thing that I want you to remember by way of introduction this morning is why Jesus has performed these miracles and why John has in fact recorded the 8 miracles that he did in his gospel. Those of you who are here or who have been here over this series will remember that John at the end of his gospel says this. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John is clear. He wants people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We as a church would be equally as honest. We want people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not particularly interested in simply getting new members for our church. That is, if you like, a byproduct of people believing if they live here in Newport. But what we are concerned about is that every human being that comes through the doors of our church might actually come to this point where they realize that Jesus has been sent into the world as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the one that God has anointed in order that we might be saved. So that is the setting of this next miracle. Now, let's look a little bit in a little bit more detail at this story. So verse 16 tells us, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The first point today is, in the dark without Jesus. In the dark without Jesus. From what John records for us, it would seem possible that these disciples had made a mistake. Jesus has gone up the mountain, they've gone off in the opposite direction in a boat. But no, they hadn't made a mistake, because Matthew actually tells us that Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. He dismissed the crowd. He said, "You go to the other side." He dismissed the crowd, and then he goes up onto this mountain alone. These men were in fact doing the will of God. There was no mistake. But as they were doing the will of God, they had lost the conscious presence of Jesus. They were heading in this direction. Jesus went in this direction. There's an important lesson here for us, particularly as believers. They were obeying the word of God, and yet they did not have the physical or the felt presence of God. Jesus was no longer with them. They couldn't see him. They couldn't feel his presence. Now, we as believers in the 21st century will never have the physical presence of Jesus until he returns again in glory. So we don't look for that. But as Christians, it is possible for us to know the felt presence of God. Like Jacob said in the Old Testament, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." But friends, there are times that even as Christians, we have obeyed the word of God, we have trusted him, but it seems that we are not conscious of the presence of God. We feel as though we are in the dark. Friends, even though we don't feel the presence of God, and I plead that we would, particularly as we gather, but even though we don't feel the presence of God, doesn't mean to say that we are outside of the will of God. We must be careful about condemning ourselves where God does not condemn us or God does not correct us. Now let's think of this situation. What is happening here and what has been happening? Well, there has been this huge miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. It may be a term that people don't like, but I'm going to use it anyway. The disciples had been on a spiritual high. They had seen the power of God. They had seen the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had, as it were, been amazed by this great blessing that God had given them. But friends, it is possible, after we have known great spiritual blessings, to go into periods of deep darkness or periods of extreme challenges or temptations. Let me take you back to the beginning of the Gospels. The Lord Jesus Christ is baptized. And what happens as he comes out of the water? It seems as though the heavens are ripped open. Not simply that the clouds have parted, but there seems a way in which an entrance is given into heaven itself. And out of that torn heavens descends a bird. For that's what it seems. But in fact, it is the Holy Spirit. And he comes and he settles on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this voice is heard from heaven. This is my beloved Son. A spiritual high. A time when the presence of God is known. And yet what happened immediately afterwards? Even for the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, he was driven into the wilderness. He knew temptation. He knew trials. He knew an overwhelming spiritual battle with the enemy of God's people. These disciples were in the dark without Jesus. What about you, friends? What about me? Does your heart condemn you when you think, well, I had that blessing last week. I knew that assurance maybe 10 years ago. But where is it today? I trust that it's more recent than 10 years ago that you have known the presence of God. But these disciples, having known this spiritual high, set out on a journey where they have not got the conscious presence of God. John tells us that they started across the sea. And for most of us, we would think of getting into a rowing boat and having a bit of fun in the park or on a boating lake, something like that. But no, this was hard work. There were a number of them in the boat, so it would have been a big boat. Rowing would have been hard work. They have got to the end of an emotionally draining day, and they would have been struggling. Mark tells us that the Lord looked down from the mountain, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And friends, it might be that Christ was out of their sight. Maybe he's out of our sight. But I want to assure you this morning, I want to assure every believer that you are not out of his sight. In a way, I want to assure every unconverted person here this morning that you are not out of his sight. You may think you're living without God, but there is not one of us can live and escape the presence of God. But before I move on to the second point this morning, I want to ask you, where are you in life? Do you feel as though maybe you've lost the presence of God? Do you feel as though you are not enjoying the blessings that you have known at other times? I want to assure you, God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten his promises. He is still in control. He is still working his purposes out. So they were in the dark without Jesus. But then when we move into the second part of this story, verses 18 and 19, we see them blinded by a storm. Verse 18, the sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. Now, the geography of this situation, I've never been to the Promised Land, but I'm told that the Sea of Galilee is set in, as it were, a deep ravine between mountains and maybe as low as 600 feet below the Mediterranean Sea. So these mountains, these hills, act like a wind tunnel. So when you get a wind driving down through this narrow gap, what is a relatively calm sea one moment can be whipped up into a wild frenzy in a very short period of time. And that's what is being described in verse 18. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing, and there was no escape from it. And even though we have here experienced fishermen, they feel overwhelmed by what is happening. They feel out of their depth. They feel out of control. And if that wasn't bad enough, the scripture tells us when they rowed 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. Now, we are reading a record here of what actually happened. But put yourself in that situation. It is dark. The wind is howling. The waves are lashing across your boat. You are heading, as it were, against the your line of sight, because when we're rowing, we're always rowing with our back in the direction that we are heading. And suddenly, somebody in the boat says, "What's that?" And they look out across the sea. And it might be that someone says, "Oh, it's a sail of another boat." "No, it's not." And then somebody says, "Oh, it's maybe a bit of rubbish, a bit of debris being driven by the storm." "No, it's not that." And they say, "Well, it looks like a man." Now, we are so familiar with this story that we become complacent about it. "Oh yeah, well, it was Jesus walking on the water." Friends, let's put yourself there. You're out of control. There's darkness. It's a stormy night. There's no real clouds in the sky. And the bits of light that you get, there is this something that looks like a human being walking on the water. Friends, have you ever seen anyone walking on water? Have you ever been in a storm like that and you thought, "What is happening?" These fellas, let's be honest. To, first of all, seem as though there is a man walking on the water would have been terrifying. But they say, "Well, people cannot walk on the water. So what is it?" And we are told that Matthew tells us that they thought it was a ghost. And they were terrified. Friends, let's not criticize these men. When we go into a situation that is beyond our experience, it frightens the life out of us. And there are times when the storms of life do frighten us and we do not understand what's going on. When we cannot understand what's going on, our imagination runs wild with us. And there are times that the problems of life become so great that we don't know what's going on. They are frightened, but in fact, God is working his purposes out. Let me ask you, friends, are you frightened about a situation? Is this something that is happening in your life? And you think, "I can't control this. It's beyond me. I wasn't expecting it to go like this. We've had such a good day. We've had such a good year. We've had such a good week. And everything seems out of control." This is where these men were. They were afraid that Christ was not with them. But friends, the facts are that Christ was a lot closer than they had ever imagined. Friends, believe the promises of God. If you're a Christian, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." If you're not a Christian this morning, be warned, because there is nowhere on this earth where we are beyond the presence of God. So we see people in the darkness without Jesus. We see these disciples blinded by a storm. And thirdly, we see them blessed by the presence of Jesus. Verse 20, "But he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.' Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. In the midst of the storm, Christ speaks. Friend, let me ask you today, would you hear the word of God? Would you understand the word of God as the storm rages around you? Would you understand that God is still in control? If you hear his voice, would you understand what he is saying to you? Well, to be honest, when we read this passage, we don't always understand what Jesus is saying. Verse 20 says, "It is I, do not be afraid." And there is an emphasis that is missed in translation here. Jesus is simply saying, "I am." And what is he doing? John is in fact introducing a theme which Doris took up this morning in her children's talk, a theme that is repeated throughout the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, "I am God." Back in the Old Testament, Moses asked God, "Who shall I say has sent me?" And God said, "Say, I am that I am." Jesus is God because he has shown his power over the sea. No human being can walk on water by their own power. Who is this man who is walking on the water? He is the creator of the world. John explained this right at the beginning of his gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. Nothing was created without him." Jesus is the creator. He is the Lord. And Jesus is driving home this point. "I'm not simply a teacher. I'm not simply a miracle worker. I am God." And when they were aware that it was Jesus, we're told they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Was this another miracle? We don't know. It may have been that they hadn't fully understood the progress that they had made. But it seemed that once a relationship with Jesus was re-established, then life took on a new perspective. And friends, when we are walking close with God, when we deal with that which has separated us from God, then life does take on a new perspective. The battles of life fade into insignificance when Jesus is again central to our lives. Friends, I want to ask you this morning, where is Christ in your life? Where are you in the purposes of God? From the beginning to the end of his gospel, John wants to show us that Jesus is both God and man. He's able to walk on water. But because he made the water, he remains in control of the water. He's able to save human beings because he made human beings. He became a human being. He became responsible for sin. So what are we to do? Well, in the actual miracle, we are not told what we are to do. But these men realized that life changed for them when Christ was central. But if we go down further into our reading this morning, We read verse 29. Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Friends, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But he also came into the world as creator. He came into the world as Lord. He came into the world as comforter. I want to ask you this morning, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you trying to remain in control of your life? Do you trust the God who made this world and who has directed every event in your life? Nothing has been beyond his control. The storms, as well as the blessings. Again here, we have a miracle that includes no one other than people who had already started following the Lord Jesus. But it shows us that even these people, these disciples, these believers, had ups and downs in their life. It shows us again that as believers, they didn't fully understand all that God was doing in their lives. They saw that Jesus is more than a frightening spirit. And in their fear, they found peace. Friends, where are you in life this morning? Where am I? Where are we as a church? Maybe you're in a storm, but Christ is with you. Even when you are not clear about his purposes, he is unchanging. And he has got one ultimate goal. Jesus came into the world that people might believe in him, and that by believing in him, they might have eternal life. What's the way out of the storm for you this morning, friends? There's only one way out. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Amen.